For this, our 43rd study in the book of Genesis, I'd like you, first of all, to turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, before we get to Genesis 28 and Jacob's stairway and my worship. But first, Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, and some very familiar words, but very relevant for our understanding of Genesis 28. Romans 3, and that well-known verse, but often underestimated in its scope and depth. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I see this verse as giving us the greatest, the most significant human problem. We are all separated from God as we enter this life, and we remain that way unless God changes our situation by saving us in space and time. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is a gap that we cannot cross because of our sin nature and the acts of sin that we commit and our condemnation by God due to what Adam did in the garden. We have all kinds of problems in life, health problems, money problems, relative problems, job problems. Our biggest problem, however, is our separation from God. It is a problem that none of us can solve on our own. Of course, jokingly, we often say, "What's your problem?" And that's usually done at a trivial level. And we could think of all kinds of things that day by day we have difficulties with. And there are problems beyond us in life, national problems, international problems. The greatest human problem for individuals and for the whole race is we are separated from God. We fall short of His glory. There is a gap between us and Him. One of the most beautiful descriptions of God's solution to this problem is found in Genesis chapter 28, where Jacob has a dream whose content leads him to worship God. And we find out also from John chapter 1 and verse 51, which interprets that experience of Jacob in Genesis 28 and tells us the solution to that great human problem of being separated from God. So here is Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. Genesis 28, verses 10 through 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. Remember, geographically, Beersheba is, today it's called the gateway to the Negev. It is at the northern edge of the Negev desert, essentially really in the desert, known for its wells, which we saw in an earlier chapter. Today it's a thriving city of some 250,000 people south of Jerusalem. And Jacob set out for Haran, which is way north of Israel in Asia Minor, and that would be quite a trip going north. When he reached a certain place, turns out this is about 10 miles north of Jerusalem. He didn't get very far. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. You ever slept on a stone? I have not. I have slept on a rolled up jacket, rolled up towel, things like that, something convenient when there wasn't a pillow, in awkward sleeping situations, but here it's a stone. Stone becomes very significant. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth. We don't know whether it was like our common stairway that's built into a building or more like a ladder with the feet of the ladder sitting on the ground. Either way, we get the same effect. Its top was reaching to heaven. Earth, the bottom, heaven on the top. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. So this is the iteration of the covenant now to Jacob, had been given previously to Abraham, reiterated to Isaac, and now it is reiterated to Jacob. I'll give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Beth-El, though the city used to be called Luz. Beth-El means house of El or house of God. Notice what he is doing here. He is praising God. We'll come back to this. He is praising God. He does something in response to what God has shown him. He turns the stone into a pillar. It must have been a long stone, something like a cylinder, a round stone pillow, because he's able to set it on end. Verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth, he says to God. So he promises to give money back to God in service. Now here is the New Testament passage that explains Genesis 28, Jacob's dream. John 1, 50 and 51. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Well, let's look at Genesis 28 and make some observations as good Bible students with minimal comment. The facts almost leap out at us, and there are quite a few. Straightforward observation. First of all, Jacob had not had the covenant confirmed to him before this. Exodus 3 and verse 4 adds Jacob as one of the three original receivers of the covenant, however. Here's Exodus 3, 4, 5, and 6. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So here is a statement in Exodus 3 of the three receivers of the covenant originally given to Abraham. In other words, it was a covenant that involved Abraham and his descendants. So the first two of those descendants are mentioned here, just as Genesis 28 reiterates the promise to Abraham and includes Jacob. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have this also quoted in the New Testament by Jesus in refuting Jewish opponents. So here is the restatement, expansion of the Abrahamic covenant to include Jacob. Second thing we observe is that Jacob had sinned in chapter 27, but the covenant is confirmed to him anyway, teaching us that sinners get God's promises through grace. That should leap out at us. Genesis 27 is cheating his brother with the complicity and instigation of his mother. And now, chapter 28, even though he did what he did in chapter 27, God's going to bless him. Doesn't mean he excuses God, excuses his sin. Number three, third thing we observe is the promise here is expanded beyond what was given to Abraham and Isaac. It involves personal care for Jacob. I'm going to care for you as you go north, and I'm going to bring you back and watch over you. A fourth thing tells us the effect on Jacob. Jacob concludes that this place and the experience involved the presence of God in some very unusual way, and he is overwhelmed by it, as he should be. A fifth thing we notice, Jacob concludes that this is somehow the gate to heaven. This implies an overcoming somehow of the problem of being shut out from God's presence. Was he thinking in those terms? We don't know. But it is amazing to him that now there is this, in the dream at least, very unusual and striking presence of God. A sixth thing, notice that presence of God above the stairway comes to confirm the covenant with Jacob. So the stairway is connected with the covenant. Somehow the fulfillment of the covenant is connected with the presence of God. No surprise, perhaps. Seventh thing we notice, Jacob is amazed and praises and worships God. I believe that this is like the sacrifice of praise of Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13, one of the passages that gives us acts of the believer priest. So here's Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Jacob was praising God in response to God's showing himself to him. So this is just like Hebrews 13. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Jacob was doing that. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. So doing good and sharing material goods, giving money to others, there are thus three things that are acts of a believer priest, sacrifices here in Hebrews chapter 13. Praise, doing good, and giving material things, giving money. All three are present in Genesis 28. An eighth thing that we notice, Jacob consecrates the place where he had the dream and makes it into a worship center, in a sense, where God would be present. Bethel means house of God. Hebrew, Beit, and El, a generic name for God. So I see this as a worship act of doing good. He's establishing a worship center. So again, an act that corresponds to what a believer priest does today in doing good, Hebrews 13. In verses 20 through 22, Jacob promises to obey God and to tithe. So that corresponds with the giving of Hebrews 13. And the obedience to God matches what we find in Romans 12, 1 and 2, the act of a believer priest there. Here's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Well, Jacob said, I'm going to obey you. I'm going to take you as, see you as my God, and I'm going to live under your direction. So that was an act of obedience, just like the act of a believer priest today in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, 2 goes on, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Part of the act of a believer priest in obeying God. And number 10, 10th thing, and there are more things we could observe, but let's stop here. But the 10th that I see, there's a physical and spatial correspondence between the content of the dream and the altar that Jacob made. What do I mean by that? In verse 18, Jacob takes the stone that he had slept on and turns it so that it is now a pillar. So it wasn't just a little lumpy stone that we might initially imagine, but it was big enough so that he could turn it on end, and it would be a pillar of some kind. So it must have been in the shape of a log or a cylinder. So when he stands it on end, it reaches upward. Couldn't have been very tall, since otherwise it would have been too heavy for him to lift by himself. Pouring oil on top of the pillar apparently had the effect of making it a place of worship. The stone thus becomes an altar. The new vertical orientation of the stone turned into an altar parallels the stairway. So you have now the place where his head was is turned vertically to be an altar, and his dream had something vertical going upward toward heaven, a stairway or the ladder. So Jacob's new altar thus forms a physical parallel to the spiritual vertical dimension, earth to heaven. And I think this is describing the vertical dimension, where Scripture speaks of heaven as up, see into heaven, things happening up in heaven. So a vertical spiritual dimension, not a physical dimension, corresponding to what Jacob slept on and turns into a vertical altar. Moreover, Jacob sees his encounter with God as a place where God has been present with him in the dream. God was here. It is, in his view, the house of God, in a sense, a dwelling place of God. Remember, this is hundreds of years before the law and the tabernacle, where God would be present in Israel in the most holy place. So this is a precursor to that. It is a place where God was present at least with Jacob. And he turns it into a worship center because God was here. Don't make the mistake of thinking that God is bound by space and time, or that worship must take place in a certain place, as the Samaritan woman thought, and Jesus corrects her. It's not the place. Jerusalem is actually, if you want to think in terms of physical places, he says to her, it's not Samaria, it's in Jerusalem. But more importantly, worshiping God is done in the spirit, because God is a spirit being. But in any case, that this became a memorialized location, memorializing what had happened there with Jacob and God's revelation of himself to him. So the end result of the dream is Joseph's worship and thanks for an open gate to heaven, the resulting presence of God, and commemorating this place, some place that God had done something special in the presence of a human being. But what a contrast with Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. All have sinned and come short of the grace of God, but God has chosen to open heaven and have fellowship with sinners. John 1:51 shows us that Jesus is the fulfillment of the dream. It contains a quotation from Genesis 28, where the angels of God are ascending and descending on a stairway. In fact, it does not even mention a stairway. It just mentions the angels of God going up and coming down. Now, this is Jesus' interpretation of Genesis 28. So if we want to understand the dream, we have to pay careful attention to what Jesus tells us the dream means. First of all, he's saying that there's a prophetic meaning to the stairway vision of Genesis 28. And the dream contains information beyond what Jacob could have known or readers of the Old Testament could have known before Jesus explained it. While Jacob had the experience described in Genesis 28, that experience was designed by God to point to Jesus and his redemptive work. So what could Jacob have known about the cross? Little or nothing. He just sees a stairway with God speaking to him from the top of the stairway. What could Old Testament readers, after the writing of the Pentateuch and on into Israel's history, what could they have understood about the dream? Probably for most it was very perplexing. It was the presence of God to Jacob. But what did the stairway mean? Why a ladder? Why a stairway? Well, Jesus tells us about that ladder or stairway. The main features of the correspondences between John 1:51 and Genesis 28 are these. Number one, Jesus says, you will see heaven standing open. And let's go back to, in our notes at least, or you can look in your Bibles, to John 1:50 and 51. It's particularly verse 51. Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So notice that there is no ladder or stairway mentioned here. The words are not used. In the dream, it's a stairway. But here in Genesis 1:51, heaven is open. That's one of the correspondences. But there is no stairway. You have angels going up and down. They are ascending, descending. They're busy. But also, Jesus substitutes himself for the stairway. Angels are mentioned. Their movement is mentioned. The fact that heaven is open is mentioned. Jacob says what? This is the gate to heaven. It's a gateway. What's a gateway? Big opening. This is a big opening to heaven. he said, of the stairway. But beyond that, then, there's no mention of a stairway in John 1:51. The events, the angels going up and down, and the openness of heaven has Jesus at the center. Jesus is the stairway. The marvelous addition of this information beyond Jacob's experience is that Jesus himself forms a stairway. We could actually call it a kind of a highway, because the implication of John 1:51 is these angels have plenty of room to go up and down between earth and heaven. And they are going up and down, not on the stairway, but on Jesus. Jesus himself tells us. So in Genesis 28, all we learn is that the stairway somehow constitutes a gate to heaven. And Jacob was right in his conclusion about that. Jacob also knew that this gate was important and necessary, and that it brought human beings closer to God, or rather brought God to human beings. He knew God was present in the place where he slept. Notice also that the stairway starts on earth and extends to heaven. Stairway starts on earth in the dream and extends it. He says it's sitting on earth, goes up to heaven. God's at the top of it. Not the other way around. The ladder doesn't descend, come down out of heaven. Right? The ladder's sitting on the earth and reaches to heaven. This tells us, along with John 1:51, that it is the God-man who dies on the cross. And he takes his finished work to the Father, as we find in Hebrews chapter 9. He enters into the presence of the Father. So the God-man on earth does his cross work here and takes it to heaven. And I think this is like the anchor and the line where that anchor is in heaven. Hebrews chapter 6, with a line from us to the anchor, and God is pulling us in as we're at the other end of the anchor, with the anchor being in heaven. So it's from heaven to earth, because it's the God-man who opened heaven and takes us into heaven. Since Jesus himself is the ladder, the busy angels are carrying out his work through him. He, not they, is the connection to heaven. So angels are not the ladder or stairway. It's not made up of angels. They're busy on the stairway ladder, which is, Jesus tells us, himself. He alone makes it possible to reach heaven, not the angels. He has solved the greatest human problem, being blocked from access to a holy God. Romans 3:23. And now the traffic moves in a continuous stream. Remember that Hebrews 1:14 tells us that angels, unfallen angels, are God's servants sent to minister to those who will be heirs of salvation. So they are ministering for the elect. And they're busy doing that in this Jesus interpretation of the Jacob dream. They're busy doing that on and because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Now, I want to say two or three more things about the stairway. First of all, the ladder, the stairway in Genesis 28, is a type of Christ, a biblical type. A type is a picture in the Old Testament, a prefiguration picture of some aspect of Christ and his work. So the ladder, we find out from John 1:51, the stairway in that Jacob saw is Jesus himself. And so that stairway is a picture ahead of time of Jesus. Second thing I want you to notice is that Jacob says that the stairway brings the presence of God to earth. Jesus says in John 1:51 that he and his work have brought about an open heaven. Literally, he says, you will see heaven standing open. Now, I've provided the Greek text here for you with the translation. And my translation with standing, the word standing, emphasizes the permanent quality of Jesus' work. If I were making and publishing a translation of the New Testament, I would do this. These are valid translations. So in John 1:51, Jesus says, "You will see heaven standing open. The door is open." In Jacob's terms, the gate is wide open. Now, I think it's beautiful that we find something very similar, almost the same, in two other New Testament passages. Acts 7:56, Stephen says, at his martyrdom, I will translate it this way, "Behold, I see the heavens standing open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Heavens standing open. He looks right into the presence of God. There is an open heaven. Jesus, as the connector between earth and heaven, has done an effective work. Heaven is standing open. Stephen can see into heaven. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. At the beginning of the disclosure of the events of the last days, John says, "And behold, a door standing open in heaven." All three of these occurrences use the same verbal, Greek verbal root, a common Greek word for open. And they all have the same Greek tense or way of looking at the action or the state or the result of an action. In this case, it's the result of an action. Someone has opened the door and it's still open. Open the door, it's wide open. This is the gate to heaven. It's a gateway. That's the idea. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1 says the same thing. "The heavens were opened and I saw visions of God." So one of the things that's being stressed here is the permanence. The other thing is the width, the depth, the length of the effects of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ who has opened heaven. And finally, recall that the stairway is connected with the fulfillment of the covenant, Abraham, Isaac, and then to Jacob. He sees the stairway, he sees God, he senses this is God present in some way, and then God gives him the covenant in the dream. It's going to come to you too, Jacob, as it did in promise form to your father and your grandfather. So that covenant is somehow connected with Jesus as the stairway, as the ladder reaching from earth to heaven. Now, let's think about Jacob's response and our response to what we know now as Jesus as the stairway to heaven. Jacob worshiped God in three or four priestly acts. He sacrificed himself. He said, "I'm going to live for you. I'm going to obey you." The sacrifice of praise. He praised God for what he had seen. He said, I'm going to give my money. Sacrifice of money. I'm going to serve you. He served God by establishing Bethel as a worship center. These correspond to the four acts of a believer priest in Romans 12, 1 and Hebrews chapter 13. They're at the heart of what worship is. According to the Bible, worship is carried out by and through priests. In this age, since the cross, all believers are priests and are part of a priesthood. So every believer can worship God directly. Jacob was worshiping, doing the same kinds of priestly acts because he knew God had been present at the spot he named Bethel, and because he knew this was an amazing thing from God himself. He was showing his appreciation, his thanks. He was giving priestly thanks for the statement of the covenant to him and for the fact that God had shown himself to him. What we're seeing here is progressive revelation between Genesis 28 and John 1. God does not reveal everything about his plan and purpose at one time. It comes in bits and pieces. Jacob learns something his predecessors did not know, and he makes connections that perhaps they did not know about. He saw the presence of God as something startling, implying the more likely previous situation for Jacob that God was somewhat distant. I mean, think about it. He sees God present in some new way with him. This was different. So he is struck by it and he is changed by it. This presence of God came about through a channel that reaches between heaven and earth. But how the presence of God could come about, how the channel could work, he could not know. It remained for progressive revelation as we get John 1:51 to be able to understand it. I was reading a commentary last night on Genesis 28 by Arthur Pink. And Pink says, God doesn't leave us in the dark about how to understand this vision. Jacob must have questioned this all his life. What does this stairway mean? It's great and wonderful, and I understand that it's God present with me in some way, and I respond by worshiping God in priestly acts, but what does this mean? Well, he couldn't know. And Pink says, well, Scripture doesn't leave us in the dark, John 1:51 tells us, and of course that's Jesus' divine interpretation. But for Jacob, how God and man could have fellowship, how that ladder could connect, he could only guess at. But for us, we know that the problem of Romans 3:23 has been solved. The two sides have been brought together. The ladder, the stairway, which is Jesus himself, bridges the gap. And so Jesus tells us how the gap could be broken. And he himself would be the stairway, the connector between heaven and earth. Previously somewhat distant heaven. Yes, Old Testament saints, before Jacob could have fellowship with God, they could walk with God. Enoch is said to have walked with God. Noah walked with God. But now there is this new, something new. Jacob says, this is different. God is present in some very, very unusual way. And Jesus says, well, I'm the ladder. I'm the stairway, and he is that because he made a way possible for sinners to reach heaven, to reach a God angry at our sin and our sinfulness. Well, if Jacob worshipped and gave the sacrifices of priests as described for us in Hebrews 13 and Romans 12, shouldn't we do the same thing, especially since we know so much more of the story? And so much more about God's grace to sinners. Heaven indeed has been opened by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The angels of God are busy ministering to those who are heirs of salvation. Jesus himself has solved the problem of the gap between God and sinful human beings. Heavenly Father, we give you praise for the great crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he himself is the ladder, the stairway, bringing sinners from earth to heaven into your presence through his sacrifice on the cross. We give you praise and thanks for what he has done and will do for us in the future.